Good morning. The reading today is taken from the book of Jonah. I'll be reading chapters 1 and 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because of its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa and he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea and set up such a violent storm that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. They threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and that lot fell on Jonah. They asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they said, "What have you done?" But they knew he was running away from the Lord, because he'd already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, and they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." But instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew wilder than before. And they cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man for you, O Lord. Have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea became calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to God, the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You held me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth remained barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you.
Happy New Year, everyone. And I don't know if you think that's an appropriate thing to say. And I think John has already helped us greatly by asking the question, because almost certainly for many of us, it isn't necessarily a Happy New Year. For some, it might be wonderful. I heard someone at the break who shared with me great news about their start to the new year. And so it's great to rejoice with those who have had a good start. But at the same time, it can be challenging for others, perhaps who have had a very, very difficult period over this time. Someone asked me actually where I see myself in the new year. And I said, how would I know? I don't have 2020 vision. In fact, my New Year resolution was to read more. So I put on the subtitles on my TV. These are the sorts of jokes we have at this time of year as we start to think about New Year. And as has already been said, there is something about marking the move, end of year, beginning of a new year. In this case, the end of a decade, the beginning of a decade, that helps us to reflect and to think. And so one of the purposes of the service today is that I pray that God will speak to each one of us and help us reflect and think about where we are and what we're about. I don't know if you've seen all the fuss about the army recruitment advertising going on at the moment. The army apparently is about 7,000 understaffed. And they've started a recruitment campaign, which I quote, is targeting snowflakes, phone zombies, and selfie addicts. Okay? So any of you that don't know what any of those words mean, or you think you know what they mean but can't make the sense of that, please talk to someone under about 30 to find out what it means. But the reality is that there is a message that they're trying to get across, which is that apparently confidence lasts for a lifetime. Confidence lasts for a lifetime, and that's the theme of the advertising. And of course, people's view of themselves, the idea of being confident is such an important thing, and how paralyzing, how damaging it can be if we are not confident in ourselves. But obviously also as Christians, one of the important things we recognize is that our confidence isn't just in ourselves, but it's in God. So confidence in God lasts for a lifetime and beyond. And that's something that we need to think about as well. I was thinking back, when I was a kid, Onward Christian Soldiers was a song that was sung very often, and the image of the Christian being a soldier was a very positive image. I've been in this church 11 years now. I don't think we've ever sung Onward Christian Soldiers since I've been here. I might be wrong. And it's interesting that we've got a much more mixed view, perhaps, of the idea of a soldier as a model for a Christian. But there is so much which makes sense as we look at that picture. And it's very definitely a picture that's firmly in the Bible. It comes through a load of times about the idea that a Christian is in battle. A Christian is in warfare. And of course, just like a soldier in the advertising, not a Christian standing on their own, but with others in the community, with interdependence, testing out faith. And one of the things I think that's brilliant about the forces is that they get people to do things together, yes, but they give them the confidence to do things and train them and work up. And one of the messages, I'm sure, for us as a church in this coming year is about the fact that we need to test our faith. We need to use our faith. It's not something for sitting on a Sunday morning and singing nicely, but it's actually something to affect every day of our lives. When John told me, you realise John and I have had very little chance to get together because I was away for most of the time in the 2 weeks before this. And John did tell me he was going to talk for Elijah. So I was a bit surprised when I came to finally decide on Friday what I was going to speak on, that I ended up with Jonah, okay? And if you would like to open your Bibles to Jonah, which is page 927, it's only two pages right in the middle of the bit of the Old Testament we look at less than the other bits, so it can be quite hard to find. But I should say I went away on a day's retreat back in October, and I spent a lot of that time meditating on the book of Jonah. And then one of the things that I really got into recently, Mike Askew and I got together for a while, and we both started, I don't know if Mike is still doing it, both started to use the Scripture Union daily online reading called Word Life. And that's the last 4 days. It's been all about Jonah. And that was very much where I ended up going. He's nodding. So I'm not checking up on you, Mike. It's all right, mate. And what I would say is that I don't have slides in the same way as I sometimes do, but I have put the outline of what I think I'm going to say out on the table outside. So do feel free to pick that up. And that's got the web link to Word Life, which can come to your phone or come to your computer in a readable format, with a Bible reading each day and then a reflection on it at a couple of different levels. So something you might want to consider in this year. But it's interesting when we think about Jonah, and of course if we look at the start, it says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord. I wonder how many of you would say the word of the Lord has ever come to you. Because some of us in this church do have prophetic gifts. And we need to encourage this and expect to see God speak to us. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. In fact, what's interesting, and this was something that I got reminded on as I looked at this book, we tend to think of Jonah, because we've reduced it to being an interesting story to tell our children up in Sunday school about Jonah and the whale, we've reduced it down. Whereas actually Jonah is an Old Testament prophet. Here we are in 2 Kings chapter 23. Sorry, it's not chapter 23, actually. I think it's chapter 14, verse 23. Yes, it is. 2 Kings 14, 23. And it says this: Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria. And he restored the boundaries of Israel, blah, 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 in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant, Jonah, son of Amittai. The Lord had seen how bitterly everyone in Israel, whether slave or free, was suffering. There was no one to help them. And since the Lord had not said he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, son of Jehoash. Now, Jeroboam was a dreadful king. We're told he was really wicked, really evil. But God sent Jonah with a message of hope and encouragement, with a message of power, and that message got fulfilled. This bad king, despite the fact he was not following God, was used to strengthen and build up this northern kingdom of Israel. And so Jonah was a prophet, not just in this one story we've got that we're reading today, but he was a man who had a ministry that was identified and understood, and he had brought a word of encouragement, of mercy, of power to the evil king. And despite the king's lack of following of Jesus, of God, Jonah's word was fulfilled. And that message was proven because it was in line with the word of God. God not said he would blot out the people of Israel. And it was proven because it came about. It was true. Do we expect God to speak to us today? Do we anticipate words being spoken? At the very end, if one of the church leaders or one of the Illuminate leaders particularly would like to share a word the Lord thinks they've given to them today, there might be space for that. Please just pray if that's the right thing for one of you to do. But I want to mention Illuminate. Illuminate is a service that happens usually the third Sunday of every month in the evening. And the reason I mention it is not because that's the only place that the word of the Lord comes. Hopefully we hear the word of the Lord every Sunday morning and at many other events too. But it is a space where we have more time to sit and pray that God will bring his word prophetically to us. And sometimes people bring prophecy, and sometimes people bring words of knowledge. Steve, I'll talk to you afterwards. I won't ask you to speak today, if that's okay. Is that all right? Thank you very much. Thanks. So I want to encourage you to consider coming along to Illuminate on the 19th of January and thereafter. And I want to ask, to challenge ourselves as a church, as whether we expect God to speak to us prophetically these days. So Jonah then was a successful prophet. So what could go wrong? Well, let's read on. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and God said, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because of its wickedness, which has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Now, your geography about Nineveh and Tarshish might not be too clear, but broadly speaking, Nineveh was sort of heading towards the right, if you're looking at the map, and Tarshish was as far as you could go down the Mediterranean to the left. Most people think Tarshish was Spain. So it's like, would you like a holiday in Iraq? And he said, no, I'll go to Spain. Something we'd probably all understand today as being a better choice, but wasn't quite the point that God was making. So Jonah, who was expecting God to give him something to share, God gave him something to share, and he is horrified. And he says, I don't want to share this. I want nothing to do with it, God. I am out of here. Now, why, I wonder, why was it that Jonah rejected this word? Some people think he was afraid of the Ninevites. They were a big and powerful place. Israel was a very small provincial place. Maybe he was afraid. But actually, I think the rest of the story, we didn't read the whole story, gives us a clue that Jonah wasn't that keen on God doing anything to take a message to another people who weren't his own people, because he knew the nature of God. We'll come back to that later. When I read this, I thought it was worth us as individuals asking ourselves some questions, examining ourselves about how we are with God. As a church, are we living on what God did for us in the past? When we were successful, perhaps, we saw God answer prophecy. And perhaps are we running away from what he's saying to us today? Or as individuals, was there a time in your life or in my life when I promised God something? When I said I would follow him in a certain way or do something he called me to do? But now he's saying, I want you to carry on in that ministry. We're backing away. Or is it perhaps that God has given you spiritual gifts to use, and those gifts have come to you, and you used to use them, but somehow or other you've lost your direction? We need to face up to this. We're either running with the will of God, or we're running away from it. And this is a good opportunity at this turn of the year to ask ourselves, those promises that we've made to God, are we still living up to them, or have we perhaps lost our way? Jonah was on the ship. I did read one little commentator, which I thought had a brilliant thing. Jonah might have actually rationalized his running away from the Lord. He might have said, oh, look, God has worked out the circumstances, so it works for me. Because it says he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship going to Tarshish. Now, again, the suggestion in this person's mind was that finding a ship going from Joppa to Tarshish would be like finding a direct flight from Heathrow to Azerbaijan or something. Extremely unlikely. But he gets down there, he's got the money, he gets on board, he thinks, I've run away from the Lord. And I guess that's one of the things that really, really struck me about this. That there is nowhere we can go to run away from God. If God is talking to us, if God is working in our lives, however bad things seem, there is nowhere where we can get away from him. However much we want to, there is no way we could get away from him. I think I've shared a testimony on one occasion when I was in my 20s, and I basically said to God, I've had enough with you, God. It's just not working out. And I had this sense that there was nothing I could do to deny or get away from who God was, because he had my name, he had my number, and I give thanks that that was the case. But Jonah, despite being a prophet, despite having spiritual gifts, despite having seen God work powerfully through him, was on his way in the opposite direction from where God had said go. And then we have this amazing story of on board with the sailors. And the waves get bad. And things get bad. And the captain comes around, a bit like Dave Allen. If anyone remember Dave Allen, the comedian, he used to say, may your God go with you. Well, in this case, it was a question of nipping around to everyone and saying, well, is your God going to answer these prayers? Pray, because the storm's getting worse and worse. Jonah, apparently with a completely clear conscience, which seems amazing, is dozing, sleeping downstairs, and the captain wakes him up. Who's your God? And embarrassingly, Jonah does admit that his God is the God of heaven, of the sea, and of the land. That covers all bases. And then goes on to acknowledge as well that he's running away from God, this God that controls everything. Maybe sometimes it takes non-Christians to point out how stupid we are. Maybe it takes someone to actually say, look, don't you get it? How can you, on the one hand, give a testimony to who your God is, and on the other hand, be getting into this mess or being disobedient or denying the way that you are going? And, of course, Jonah doesn't even really say that or share who God is until they cast lots and the lot comes on him. And then he's stuck. He's got to acknowledge, okay, I know what's going on here. Throw me overboard. Throw me overboard. I'm the problem. It is fascinating, it seems to me, that Jonah, who probably hadn't wanted foreigners to come to know his God, is on a boat going in the wrong direction, presumably manned by lots of foreigners from Tarshish, and they all get to know God and worship him as a result of Jonah's completely dreadful testimony. And that's the other thing I think is wonderful. Sometimes we completely screw up in the way that we communicate the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, but God will get his message home regardless. And interestingly enough, we can read on in chapter 4 where the problem lay as far as Jonah was concerned. We didn't read this bit in the bit that Howard read to us. But this is not a statement of, it is a statement of faith, but it's not a statement of rejoicing. But this is what Jonah says when he's really mad at God. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. You can see the irony, can't you? He's getting mad at God, angry at God, because God is so slow at getting angry. He's getting angry at God because God relents from sending calamity. And of course, by chapter 4, only probably 40 days later from him being rescued, he's kind of forgotten the fact that God had relented from sending calamity on the sailors and on Jonah, and he'd rescued him. So Jonah gets thrown overboard, he gets swallowed up in the fish, and he gets vomited onto the shore. This message, though, about our God is one that all of us are called to bring. We may not be told to go to Nineveh or be on a boat and share it with people that we meet on the boat, but we know a gracious and compassionate God, a God who relents from sending calamity, a God who loves everyone, the Ninevites, the Tarshish sailors, and the people of Israel, and all of us. And one of the things that we do in this church is to share that news. We've got an Alpha course starting soon. And please talk to Catherine or Philip or myself if you've got people you know who might really be blessed and built up by coming on that Alpha course. We're going to have a taster session on the 24th of January, and then we're starting on the 7th of February. We're going for a lunchtime on a Friday, which won't suit everyone, but it will suit some we think will be coming. But if you would like to do an Alpha but you can't do that time, please also speak to us and we will see, because we may also run an evening one if there is the demand. Because it is important that we share the news of a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. And then Jonah is in a very dark place. And as I said, when we start this, not everyone, when you throw away those lines, Happy New Year, is in a good place. Many people might be in a dreadful place. And if you're entering 2020 in a bad way, I would just ask you to read Jonah chapter 2 again and see what's going on there. I do acknowledge this. We only have Jonah chapter 2 in the Bible because of verse 10, which is that God caused the fish to vomit Jonah out. And so it's Jonah who must tell us what happened, because no one else can have known what happened in that dark place for 3 days. And what, however, comes across clearly is Jonah had been absolutely disobedient to God, and yet didn't lose sight ultimately of calling on God. Are you in a state perhaps of real despair or sadness? Or you're facing problems that are too great for you? Maybe you think God has cast you off. Jonah knew that God had cast him off. Maybe you're feeling right down in the pits. Jonah spent 3 days in the slime and the muck of the darkness. Maybe you feel you've missed God's will for your life. Jonah had deliberately walked away from God's will for his life. Yet in that state, we read in verse 4 of chapter 2, Jonah said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Whatever state any of us are in, God calls us to call him. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. Whatever state you're in, he is never too far away. Psalm 139 is another one that's got those amazing promises. Even if I go down into hell, yet you are there and will draw me back. And in the fish, Jonah realizes the truth of two things. He realizes, verse 3, the waves themselves that are pounding on his head and pulling him underwater, those waves are God's waves. It says, you hurled me into the very deep, into the very heart of the sea, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. It can be very, very hard in a time of suffering, of anxiety, for us to be able to trust God. But actually, even the darkest times, even the downward movement, manifests the good intent of God. We struggle with the concept of God disciplining us, of God getting our attention by taking us through tough times. Sometimes the tough times are nothing to do with disobedience as they were in Jonah. But in all of those situations, God's purposes, because he is good, are for us and our good. The waves, even the bad times, were from God. But also the rescue itself was from God as well. He doesn't give up on us. He will complete the work that he has started. He called Jonah, and he was going to get Jonah to fulfill the duties and calling that he had given to Jonah. There's that wonderful verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, isn't there, which says that the God who has started his work in us will bring it to completion. And that's even, and that's why I'm sure we've got this story in the Bible, even if the way that we choose to live is absolutely disobedient and contrary to what God is telling us. In verse 6, Jonah says this, you brought my life up from the pit. And in verse 9, he says, salvation comes from the Lord. If your life is in the pit, if you can feel the breakers coming over you, I know that God would want to say to you today, I am your source of salvation. Trust me. Come back to me. In the New Testament, we read actually about Jonah as well. And the reason the message of hope is so powerful and so relevant to us is because it was clearly given as a sign that this, or a sign for Israel and a sign for us, actually, that Jesus was going to come, was going to go into the darkest place, and God was going to raise him from it. Jesus didn't go into the darkest place because of his disobedience, but because of his obedience and his humility and his desire to save us. A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, Jesus said, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The reason that we know a gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love, is because Jesus died and Jesus rose again. And this is the sign given to us. It is wonderful that we focus at the beginning of the year on his sacrifice. And there's an opportunity this evening to come to communion and to meet around his table and to think again about what was achieved through the death of Jesus, through the shedding of his blood. Come along tonight at 7 o'clock or next Sunday at 9:20 for early communion, or perhaps on the fourth Sunday when we have communion as part of the service. It is important that whatever we do this year is focused around the fact that our loving God speaks to us and saved us through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Finally, when we look at what happened, it is clear that the changing position for Jonah was when he called upon the Lord. In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. And verse 7, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you. There is no situation from which we cannot call on the name of the Lord, and he will hear us. It is important that as a church, we call on the name of the Lord. This coming Wednesday, we've got the prayer hub, a chance to get together to commit this year to God. And let's meet and take advantage of that time. Or the afternoon prayer, half an hour's quiet service at 5:15 on Tuesdays. Or the morning prayer, 8:45 on Fridays. And lots of other chances too to come together. But what I love about Jonah is that he also is someone who, whatever he was doing, was talking to God. So apart from when he ran away, but in the belly of the whale, he talks to God. And then we read in chapter 3 and 4, go and read it some more. You've still got a really funny character having real problems with his ministry, but someone who keeps engaging with God day by day. Do you talk to God every day? Do you actually spend time with him? Do you moan at him? Do you complain to him? Actually, I believe God would rather we complain to him than we simply ignored him. Jonah had that ongoing conversation with life about God. And as we think about calling on the Lord, we also can see that for Jonah, he called on the Lord and the Lord took him back to what he had to do. 3 verse 1 and 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah didn't get out of the thing he didn't want to do. He was taken back to it. So we need to be careful in a new year not to rely on past glories, prophecies that were achieved, not to be dragged down by past and current failures or problems, but to know that God will come back a second time and give us a chance. We need to have confidence in God that lasts a lifetime and beyond. He wants us to work for him. He's given us his spiritual gifts. He wants us to use them. Let's therefore make sure we receive God's grace. What an amazing verse this is. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Or that last line's interpreted many ways, turn away from God's love for them. But I like forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Don't cling to things that don't matter. And don't miss out on all that God wants to do for you. Don't forfeit the grace that could be yours. And finally, fulfill your vows. Worship your Saviour and Lord. Verse 9. But I, this is Jonah, with a song of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And in a moment, if there is a leader who has any other word for us and wants to bring it, one of the church leaders, or then please just raise a hand and I'll give you the microphone. But I wanted us just to leave you at this point, thinking about the year, the decade ahead, and whether in fact you have made any vows that God is calling you back to responding to. You've promised in the past, perhaps when you became a Christian, or when you got baptized, or perhaps later on when you had a deep experience of him, to commit yourself to follow him 100%, to do something for him, to share something with people on his behalf. Have you fulfilled those vows? Because Jonah realized that yes, he could call on the name of the Lord, and yes, God took him back, but yes, also God wanted him to fulfill the vows that he had made. I'm going to suggest we have a moment of silent prayer while you think through that question. Then we're going to give a chance if one of the leaders does want to share anything else, and then we're going to finish worshiping our Savior and Lord, who is the source of our salvation, a God who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and who will fulfill his purposes in us. Let's just have a moment of silence to consider vows we have made to him and what he might be calling us to do in the coming year.